KHOI, Story City, Ames.
Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events of our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in. I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour. And joining me this fine, foggy morning is our Milford Township neighbor, Pat Schlerbaum. And engineering this morning's broadcast is KHOI's station manager, Mike Murphy.
We will see mostly cloudy skies today with a high reaching 29 degrees. Winds will be out of the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, we can expect overcast skies. The winds will be light and variable as the low drops to around 23 degrees overnight. Our moon is a waxing crescent at 12% illumination, just a sliver. Sunrise this morning is at 7:35 a.m. and the sun will set this evening at 5:19 p.m. Our current temperature is 18 degrees and fog.
Hey, Pat, you know, once that fog lifts, it's that time of year we occasionally see numerous little flocks of birds along the roadways out there in the country. Anything to say about those little guys?
I call them snowbirds, The horned larks and snow buntings, larkspurs. They're delightful, and I'm seeing more flocks this year, as in maybe an additional flock between here and 13th Street.
Yeah,
one just south of my house has maybe 80 birds in it, and they're delightful.
Yeah, you don't have to go much past I-35 to Holub's Corner, and there's a flock or two in that area occasionally. So.
Yeah, they're just delightful. They're here wintering, overwintering. You see them on the gravel roads a lot. If they do fly, if you slow down, you'll see them return just pretty much where they just flew from.
Yeah.
But they're fun visitors here to the Iowa landscape.
That's Steve Leckow will share some of his observations in Naturally Speaking, so let's have a listen.
Hello, I'm Mike Metz for KHOI, and I am visiting with Steve Leckow, Naturally Speaking, and we're sitting in his kitchen, looking outside the sliding glass windows onto the area where he has his bird feeders set up.
Nice, four male cardinals out there now. I'll be darned, that's the most I've seen.
The Christmas count. Cover with Hank, you had what, 36?
36, and our usual average is 26, 27, 28. It jumped big, and it was some unusual ones for anybody's count. I mean, not unheard of anywhere, but widder wren, hermit thrush, bluebirds. Well, we've had bluebirds pretty steadily for the last several years, and Dean, he walked his bluebird trail, and he said the bluebirds were acting like spring. They were singing, going in and out of houses. Mm. He's had bluebirds there all winter.
The Christmas count day, I had the rusty blackbird mixed in with some red wings. We got a couple of Eurasian tree sparrows.
Those
and they're still with
common
us.
Common this year.
Yeah.
And several people had them. Mm-hmm. Dean has had them at his feeders, and he nested them. Made him some new bluebird boxes for around the B&B. They nested in two of them.
Well, I'm pretty sure they nested around my place because they were essentially year-round for us this year. They started showing up a little over a year ago. And then they disappear for a while.
Yeah, but I haven't seen one yet. But Dean said they're around.
The other sparrows, we had the juncos, we had Harris tree sparrows. We had a fox sparrow. A couple birds we would have seen in our count circle, gray partridge, we didn't see. I usually have a couple coveys on the southern part, just south of me, and then north another mile. Didn't pick up on those. Didn't,
I'm sure they're there, but...
Yeah.
Dry years, they tend to...
And if you remember that day, we didn't have as much snow cover, and it's really hard. You almost have to sit and watch the entire field. They weren't moving for you.
There's some immense flocks of horned larks. Hank has seen snow buntings now.
On 13th Street, just east of I-35, if you see a flock of birds in that stretch, snow buntings are in that stretch right now. And then over towards where the old county home was, where the roadside veg is, that area of the county, there's snow buntings mixed in with those. A mile west of there was snow buntings. It was great.
Yeah. And we had a good run on raptors this year.
There was your fox.
My fox. We've seen, Sue took pictures of it. It's going to come in and sit again, I'll bet.
It sits under the spruce trees.
Yeah, it's standing under there, right?
Yeah, now. It was just sitting there and scratching and there for quite a while. So you took pictures of it.
Boy, a neat little, well, it's just under the tree bough. Oh, it's coming.
And there's a big dog lives in that gray house. Oh, be darned. Oh, watch. Oh, it's sitting now. Sitting in the yard, flat like a dog.
Really adapted to the neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Of course, the coyotes push those into the town more, I'm sure.
There's the fox. There now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right around the house, huh? Something must have.
And I just read that the coyotes may be at the highest population levels they've ever been in Iowa right now.
And that's one thing I've got out in our area, and I'm pretty sure there's a female that's going to have. She's den back there a few times.
There's a huge spoil pile about halfway up the east side of Cindy's, and not that far in from the fence. Active den site there. And it's been there. This, a lot of new dirt this year. They were there last year, too. But, man, they must have a huge system under the ground there now.
I'll sit out at night sometimes. Even this time of year, if it's a calm night, I'll be out on the deck and you can hear them singing. And that's just, to me, that's great. That's
They're a little rough on the game, but good cover. There'll be enough with a good nesting season. They'll be able to compensate for any winter mortality type of predators.
They're lazier hunters than foxes are. Foxes, I think, are really...
They're the better ones for birds.
We talk about predators. I found the remnants of a male kestrel. I'll show you a photo of it later. I sent the photo to Bruce Ayersman and I asked him what he thought. He thought maybe it was one of my great horns because he said the Coopers will pick more feathers than the great horn will. The great horn will just tear. So there was quite a few feathers left, especially up on the shoulder parts of the wings. That was how I could tell. That had the primaries and the shoulders. And everything else in here, the meat was stripped out.
Yeah. Not much meat on it.
And no head. Great horns, they eat the head first.
Owls do.
Yeah.
I've heard that too. We didn't get a great horn this year. Anna Burkholt works with the DNR. She and her husband are the ones that picked up the thrush and the bluebirds and the winter wren. And the winter wren, you can't just walk by an area and expect to see them. You got to be thrashing around in the brush. Yeah, so they were really digging for what they found, and it paid off. I've only seen a couple of those in my life, and one was just, I was out on snowshoes several winters ago down at Hertz Woods, down in the bottom in the valley, and there was some blowdown down in there by the little creek that flows through there from the tile lines. It was a winter wren in that.
Such a little bird with such a long, piercing voice.
I've never heard him sing.
Oh.
I've been from me to you from marsh wrens, down sitting in the blind and had him just sit right up here and just...
chirp and chatter at you?
Yeah. But, and sedge wrens, of course, but winter wrens are hard to come by. We've got Carolinas in the area. We didn't see one in our count this year, but we have other years.
I think our numbers were pretty good. I don't know about overall tally.
I think geese are going to be really high this year. Yeah. Swans certainly high, although I'm not sure they were all. The numbers that are here now were here in mid-December.
No, they were more like 100 or so back then.
But even then, that's probably a record number for a Christmas count here. Quite a bunch.
Another thing on the Christmas count, a lot of the rivers hadn't, what water was in there hadn't really frozen, so it was harder for people in those areas that could walk the river bottom probably didn't walk some of those areas.
I saw a pair of eagles over by Ames, about in the flats by Tyson's there. They were flying north up the valley. Obviously a courting pair are doing their rebonding flights.
The nest up at Soper's Mill, that was an active nest, and they were still a pair here. I was just up there again. I'm sure you drive by and see them when you're going up to Deans.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's going to be an active nest again this year.
Yeah, they raised two there last year.
Did you guys see any crossbills or grosbeaks?
No.
In the cemeteries?
There were some grosbeaks in the area early, mm-hmm. Evening grosbeaks.
You see them?
Oh, yes, there he is. That's another one of our moderate. Look at that pose. That's very Cooperish. Sitting almost vertical like that.
Rounded tail.
Yeah. And of course the size. That's probably a female Cooper. It's a big one.
Most of the birds that were by your feeder have cleared out. Oh, there it goes. Yeah,
I suppose it's chasing birds into the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coop is still out in the spruce tree. Those two were not here 30 years ago.
There it goes.
Yeah.
Folks, they'll set out seed for birds. They want to feed birds so they can see them. And then something like that, a raptor that hunts other birds will come through and the folks get all upset because this bird is eating my birds. They should be so lucky to be able to see that. Yeah. Because like you say, 30 years ago, you didn't see that in your backyard.
Mm-hmm. There was a nest of Coopers just a couple hundred feet west of our neighbor's house. They were looking straight out their back deck because the tree they were in was growing out of the base of the valley. So it was almost eye level where the Cooper nest was. I don't know. They're still nearby somewhere because we see them like that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's making passes through here every day, but I don't always see when he's here. They are an intense and, they're so agile in the air.
They're long-tailed, a shorter wingspan, but they're built that way because they can fly in and out through the tree branches in pursuit of
at high speed. I had a dove sitting on a tree right where this Kentucky coffee is now, where he was. The hawk was after him. The dove flew up into the ash tree. As the hawk was making the strike, the dove dropped down under the hawk and headed off to the east. And that hawk went from high speed flying west at the dove without touching a tree, without touching a branch, stopped in midair, turned around, and took off at high speed east. Remember who was it? Rockford with his Camaro would do the Rockford turn?
Yeah.
Cooper's hawk did a Rockford turn in midair.
Steve, you're a pilot, probably like making a maneuver during a dogfight.
Well, way more than any airplane would ever do, even those maximum aerobatic ones. The way he just pulled up, stopped in midair, rotated, and gone again in about two wing beats at top speed. They're just incredibly explosive. I've seen them go into a brush pile, basically on foot, and just go tearing around inside a brush pile.
And in the wintertime, more people will do this. I have quite a few trees around my feeder station, but I do have one brush pile, and I always maintain that. The first year I built that, we had a blowing, snowy day, and a rooster pheasant flew into it, and immediately behind it, landing on top, was a Cooper's hawk trying to figure out how it was going to get that pheasant, and it never could get down into it because I'd had it thick enough
mm-hmm.
that you could see both birds. And they could see each other, but there was just no way he was going to be able to get to it.
And that just shows you how aggressive and intense a Cooper's hawk is. Well, that coop there was probably weighed maybe as much as a hen pheasant, not as much as a rooster, but still.
Birds of essentially fairly equal size,
mm-hmm.
and one is trying to eat the other.
Yeah. You think even hawks, owls typically take something a little smaller than they are. Typical food for all of them would be. But if they got a chance at, like that Cooper you had, at a rooster pheasant that's actually outweighs them, by golly, they're going to try it. They're just fearless. They're phenomenal.
I think we should be so lucky to be able to see animals like this that, as a kid growing up, we never got to see that. Now, some of the kids these days, like with those types of animals, with bald eagles, I make a big deal of it when I see a bald eagle.
I still do,
and
too.
And we've got young folks that say, well, it's the big deal. I see them all.
Yeah.
They don't realize that. In our memory, those birds were rare.
My nephew in Des Moines was out walking his dog along one of the Greenbelt trails here just a couple weeks ago and saw movement just off to his right, pretty close, just like 20 feet, and turned and a bald eagle had just snatched a squirrel off the ground and was flying away with the squirrel's tail flapping. And those urban eagles, like our urban fox, are becoming more adept and more, I don't know if at ease, but they've learned to live and hunt in a much closer proximity to people. I remember when we got to Ketchikan, Alaska on our cruise trip, the only cruise Sue and I have been on, and the eagles at the waterfront there were like pigeons downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They sat on the lampposts and chattered at you. When you walk by down the street, they were totally at ease being on that waterfront with all the people around.
Over the place. But.
Yeah, they were just thick there in the waterfront at Ketchikan.
Yeah.
And it's a fishing village.
Sure. And it's so, the same with Kodiak. There's a big cannery there.
We were blessed today with a fox visit and a Cooper's hawk visit and more cardinals than I've seen recently. I guess if a guy just sat here and sipped his coffee or tea and watched, you'd see a lot of stuff, even right here in town.
Well, you know, what we need now is, there goes a bobcat, Steve.
Yeah. I'll watch. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Hey, thanks.
That's great to see you, Mike. It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile. Just taking some clean, fresh air for me. Don't sense you stay inside. If the weather's fine and you've got the time, it's your chance to wake up and plan another brand new day.
And that was the Young Rascals, Beautiful Morning, and we are joined now by Am Womble, Political Director of Iowa Federation of Labor and Chair of the Iowa Black Caucus. Good morning, Al. How are you?
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. What have we got on tap this morning, Al?
Well, today what I really want to talk about is, we've started the legislative session up at the Iowa House.
Right.
And I want to talk a little bit about advocacy. Basically, people being able to go down to the Capitol itself and being able to discuss with their state legislators, their state senators, those pieces of legislation which are important to them and which they feel is going to impact their lives, whether in a positive or a negative way. And that's really kind of what I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning. What's the best way to do that? Mm-hmm. And maybe some, you know, tools that people should use in order to be able to accomplish that task.
Okay.
So
go ahead. Let's begin with what's the first thing we ought to all know about?
Well, the first thing would be is, you know, being able to review and see what type of legislation is on your mind. What's really kind of driving you as an individual? And a lot of times you can go to the Iowa website, the Iowa legislator website, mm-hmm. take a look at the bills, you know, see which ones are concerning you. And then next, importantly, right now is the most critical time to go. And the reason that I say that is because right now a lot of these bills are in subcommittee. These subcommittee meetings are listed online through the Iowa Legis website. And you can go to these particular meetings in person. And most importantly, during the period that these bills are in subcommittee, average everyday Iowans can go to these meetings and either ask questions or give testimony. You also have the ability to watch a lot of these subcommittee meetings online. However, majority of the time, in order to give testimony or to ask questions, you really should be there in person.
So being there in person is much more critical or more important, I would say, and effective than if you just wrote an email or contacted by phone. Is that correct in assuming that?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the big reasons is because when it comes to these pieces of legislation, somehow individuals have come to the conclusion that because somebody is a state legislator or a state senator, they're experts in all kinds of topics. The fact is they're not. They're people just like you and me. A lot of times they're given these bills, which are prepared by the LSA, the Legislative Services Agency. And, you know, sometimes they've read through the whole thing. Sometimes they have not. But they are not experts on this subject matter. You know, for issues that we are concerned about, we often are experts on that particular subject matter. So it's important for us to go there to help share information with them and also tell them about how this legislation specifically affects you and, you know, those people that you care about.
And what I'm hearing is if you're an expert because it's something that you're passionate about, it might even be good to do a little research ahead of time in case you're asked a particular question. Is that the right track to go down?
Sure, absolutely. In fact, that you actually went to one of my next points I was going to bring up.
Okay.
One of the things you should do when you go down there, just like you said, maybe do a little bit of research on the topic. Like one of the things that's before the legislature right now is the new SNAP asset test. Basically testing what sorts of assets an individual has in order to sign up for food assistance. But it's also limiting the types of food that people can get. And, you know, this is something that I'm deeply opposed to. But what individuals can do is, you know, look up, you know, some stats, some figures, some information on these programs. And then usually if you can put it on a single sheet, you know, not pages and pages of material, not, you know, one side and then the other. If you've got three or four points that you stick to and you're trying to make, and you can present that to these particular legislators, that's a really effective means of being able to communicate why this particular thing is important, why it's an issue to you, and it helps you with a piece of information so that you can address the members of that subcommittee that are, you know, that are dealing with that particular bill. And therefore, that gives you, you know, a great chance to talk to every one of them and hand them the information that you brought and let them know how this is going to affect people.
Okay. Now, during that subcommittee meeting, are there times when there's breaks where you can actually talk one-on-one with your representative if they're perhaps on that committee? Or is it primarily
the committee meeting and you can do your input during the meeting?
Sure. So during the committee meeting, it's usually just going to be those subcommittee members and maybe their assistants. Usually somebody from the LSA is going to be there. A lot of times you can either speak during the meeting or speak to those particular subcommittee members before or after the meeting. Your particular legislator may or may not be a part of that.
Right.
The best way to contact your particular legislator is simply to just go to those particular chambers, and there's a small slip that you have to fill out. Just ask for the date, your name, which legislator you would like to talk to. You can put down a topic or not. You know, do you represent any particular organization or not? And then, you know, you hand that slip off to the pages that are there, and then they will go and get, you know, your legislator so you can speak to them in person. That's one of the best ways to do that. You can do that for, you know, both the House and the Senate, and be able to kind of pull people out and talk to them one-on-one about your issues. You know, we as Iowa citizens sometimes have this misconception that only like lobbyists or other government officials or somebody special can go down and speak to our elected officials. No, that's absolutely not true. That is the people's house, and you have a right to go down there and talk to and solicit your particular legislator or state senator in person. The only thing I would say is, you know, like you'd mentioned, do a little bit of research, have kind of a one-page info sheet on what it is that you're talking about. 3 to 4 points, you know, maximum would be good. And then make sure that you talk to people. It's a great way to make sure that you're interacting with individuals and having direct conversations about legislation that you care about.
And the thing is, they represent you, like you stated, it's the people's house, and they're your representative. And maintain a courteous attitude during your visit, and like you would with anybody, show respect and what you would consider respect back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, these are individuals doing a job. They're doing the best they can. Sometimes, like I said, you know, they don't always have the best information. So you coming down and trying to help share that with them is definitely something you want to do. But yeah, you know, you're going to have a much better reception if you go down there with the attitude of, hey, let's work on this together. Let me talk to you about this. It's like any situation when you're trying to make sure that you're getting somebody to see your point of view. You're going to do a lot better if you start off with that attitude of, hey, let me tell you why this is important to me and members of my community, rather than coming down automatically with, you know, a confrontational attitude.
Right, because then they become defensive, or maybe you become defensive, and then communication falls apart.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the one thing I've also told people is that if there's a particular issue that you really do care about, whether it be education, agriculture, labor, you know, inner city development, odds are there are probably at least three other people who care deeply about that same issue, and try to make sure that you get those individuals to go with you down to the Capitol in order to talk to these folks. You know, it's easy to find just three other people and say, let's go make a day of this. Let's go, you know, speak to these individuals and talk to them about why this is important. But even if you can't show up there in person, because I know for some people, travel can be an issue, it's still worth your while, if you have the time, to watch these subcommittee meetings online, because the information is available through the legis.iowa.gov website. Find that information, watch the subcommittee meetings in person so you can see what people are talking about, and then make sure that you email your state legislators, state senators, and also email those people who are part of that subcommittee that is discussing the issue that is important to you. And they don't have to be lengthy. That's one thing some people get confused about. They want to write you know, 3 or 4 pages on something. No, just one simple paragraph. I oppose this particular legislation because of these 3 bullet points, and that's far, far more effective than a lengthy expose on any particular legislation.
Good advice there, Al. Hey, we're going to be visiting with you, I'm sure, in the future on a number of these points, so we sure want to have you back. We're going to have to wrap up. Is there any last thing you want to leave our listeners with this morning?
The only thing I would say is that, you know, you're not alone. Whatever it is you care about, you're not alone. Make sure you gather others to discuss this issue. That's always important. I also want to just say that, you know, I'm looking forward to the month of February because I'm going to be doing some lectures for Black History Month.
Okay.
On the service of Black men and women during World War II and how that led to victories in the civil rights movement during the 50s and 60s. And it's something that's very near and dear to my heart because people don't realize, you know, there were a lot of men and women who sacrificed from the Black community during World War II, and their direct sacrifice was the reason why we had, you know, President Truman in 1948 issuing an executive order to desegregate the military and other civil rights victories that happened. So the subject's pretty close to my heart.
Very good. That sounds like an interesting thing. I think we're going to have you on specifically for that. And there's another case of somebody being concerned and taking action.
Absolutely.
Al Womble, thank you for joining us this morning on Local Talk. And like I say, we will be seeing and talking to you more in the future. So thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go. Downtown.
And we're going downtown to visit with a couple of young women who are going to improve our outlook on life this morning. Good morning, Susan Guiazda.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you?
A little foggy in the head, but oh, it's outside like that. Doing pretty well.
a little foggy outside today, isn't it? Yeah, it's a busy week this week at the City of Ames. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get to Julie Sexton, our mental health advocate, who has a big event this week.
Okay.
Tonight is our regularly scheduled City Council meeting. We have an early start with the conference board. That starts at 5 p.m. And then there'll be an AAMPO, that's the Ames Area Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting. And then the regular City Council meeting will start, I would guess, around 6 p.m., so maybe a little bit later. You can always come down to City Hall and join us for those council meetings. They are held in person, 515 Clark. You can watch it streaming off our website, cityofames.org. Look for the button on the front, or you can catch us on social media, Facebook Live or YouTube. So lots of ways to stay involved and informed about what's happening at your Ames City Council meetings.
Okay. Anything else, or are those the points?
Well, so many things as I was thinking about today. You mentioned fog and made me think about, wouldn't it be nice to have nicer weather? Some of the things coming up, of course. I always like to tease a few things coming up in the future. One thing that kind of brought a little bit of happiness to me recently was, do you know that you can buy your discounted Berman Aquatic Center tickets right now?
No.
If you buy a season pass, you'll get a 10% discount. We're trying to sell those always ahead of swim season, outdoor swim season. But just nice to think about. I was thinking what a nice Valentine's gift it would be to give people the gift of recreation and outdoor swimming. So just planting the seed there.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was going to be a ticket to become a member of the Polar Bear Club, and you were going to have a January swim.
Nope. No such thing. But it is nice to start thinking about Furman Aquatic Center, outdoor swimming, Again, as I was thinking about our Parks and Recreation Department and all the services and programs they offer, they do gift cards. And if you were thinking ahead to Valentine's Day, maybe some kind of clever, unusual, really gifts of love. Give somebody the gift of a physical fitness class or a recreational option for them would be really thoughtful, I thought.
Well, hopefully they won't take it in the wrong way if it's a physical activity.
Of course not. It shows, how would you show somebody you love them but wanting them to be healthy?
There you go. Thank you,
there
Susan.
You go.
Okay, sure. Julie Saxon is with us, and she is no stranger to this this radio station. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I think Susan has got the laugh button on with us here this morning. We're doing pretty well.
Great.
Yeah, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and just to let our listeners know, you've got a program on Saturday mornings, except for the first and last Saturday, I believe. And so you're kind of a routine member of KHOI.
I am, and I'm proud to be so.
Okay, so now you've got a community conversation coming up. How about telling our listeners about that?
Yeah, we do. I'm so excited for this. This is going to be our third community conversation, talking about resiliency this time on January 26th, starting at 6:30 to 8:30 at the Ames Community School District Administrative Building, and that's it. 2005 24th Street. We have Lindsay Fenley, who's going to be our keynote speaker on Thursday, talking about her mental health journey and just some of the hardships and obstacles that she has faced, but also this comeback and sharing her resiliency story. We have Dr. Warren Phillips, who is the owner of Central Iowa Psychological Services, who is also going to talk about the importance of resiliency. We're going to define, you know, what that is, what resiliency is, why it's important, why we need it, how it relates to our mental health. We also have Carrie Lair. She is with Ierley Ball, who is also going to give us just different coping skills, so how we can continue just to overcome, you know, negativity or just the stuff that life throws at us that can bring us down. I think this is particularly important because we have really seen as providers across the board a lack of resiliency, not just by adults, but specifically very troublesome to see our youth really lacking this resiliency, this inability to be able to bounce back. Even let's just say you didn't do well on a test or you didn't get chosen for the varsity team. Just inability to move past, move forward, this just mindset to quit. So we're really hoping that by talking about resiliency, you know, we can get people educated and motivated and to learn that you don't have to stay stuck.
Yeah. You know, this time of year, this season, I would assume you find this situation particularly concerning. However, you know, it's we're over a month past that shortest, darkest day of the year as far as sunlight is concerned. So it's almost like we've got hope. So I would think that's part of not only sustaining you, but part of resilience and being able to recover from some of this and say, hey, there's a light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah, no, absolutely, for sure. I think we're starting to look at that light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I think the overall decline of, you know, folks being resilient, I think really stems from the pandemic where, you know, here we are and we are kind of stuck in limbo. And I think that has, you know, we have kind of stayed stuck is what I want to say.
Right.
And so just going back and reminding people, think about your gratitude. Are you living your core values and beliefs? Are you surrounding yourself with people that are going to support you in a healthy way? Are you looking at the positive? Do you have that determination within you to push forward? So many different ways that we can do that. And we're going to talk about that on Thursday.
That sounds great. And, you know, Susan made, she alluded to something that's important too, that if you stay physically active, you know, you might not be the most physically perfect specimen, but just getting out there and activities and, gosh, I'll stand out, I'll take a break, stand out on the deck and just take a nice deep breath through the nose and out through the mouth and look around and see what's going on and be thankful for that. Pat?
Absolutely. That is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, Pat's got
to give that example on Thursday night.
Very good.
Julie, I've enjoyed your programs for a number of months now, years, and I'm always curious on who mentored you or how, where did your source of outreach and positivity originate? Have you always had it this way, or is that asking too much?
No, I really appreciate that question, and I guess I'll answer it. Two answers to that question. I guess I'm just very fortunate. I have so many people in my life that are just full of positivity and that I have looked up to. And, you know, I guess it's just, you know, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. And, you know, when I sometimes fall short, I have people in my life that remind me of, you know, who I am and, you know, making sure to look at that, the positive. I will also say that my faith is very important to me. And that is a huge driving force, for, you know, how I really try to look at life.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I'm sure you are a positive influence on everyone there at the City Hall and in your travels. You certainly carry your outreach to all individuals in such a beautiful manner. And thank you for that.
Oh, you know what? Thank you so much. That I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. It's a very positive, it's part of a positive community aspect that we have. Mm-hmm. Your and your willingness to be on the program, to have your own program on Saturdays. It's uplifting.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's just a great opportunity and a great platform with KHOI to be able to have what I've always said. I want to have raw, authentic conversation with people who are going through tough situations, tough times, or having providers on sharing, you know, ways that we can feel better. But mainly also, you know, destigmatizing mental health, substance abuse, and being kind and looking at each other as human beings, because I always say this on our show that you know, we're doing life together and we really need to be there for one another. It's so important as a community. And just, again, a great platform to be able to talk about all of those things.
Very good. Well, again, Julie, we've got about a minute. Any last thoughts for our listeners?
So again, we would love to see everybody on January 26th from 6:30 to 8:30 for our third community conversation all about resiliency. Lindsay Fenley, again, is going to be our keynote speaker. Her story, if you haven't heard it, it is incredible. And we have Dr. Warren Phillips, Carrie Lair from Meyer Lee Ball, myself, and one of our police officers. She and I we put on resiliency trainings. We have put that on for our entire department. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We have Nicole Patton, the assistant principal with Ames High, who's going to talk about resiliency and what she's seeing from her lens with regards to the youth at the high school. So again, 6:30 to 8:30, January 26th at the Ames Community School District Admin Building. We hope to see everybody there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie. That's Julie Saxon, a mental health advocate for our community of Ames. Yes, Pat.
Julie, we're so fortunate to have you a member of the Ames community and included in the KHOY family of producers. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
A little bit of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Teach Your Children. And gosh, we were the children and now we're looking back. What, that was such an appropriate song, I would say, Pat.
Yeah, good job, Mike. it is a classic.
Yeah. Okay, we've got Tammy Colbeck, with Executive Director of CY Stevens, with us. And we're going to talk about some upcoming events. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, if you can get just a little closer.
All right, I'm just going to
There we go. Okay. What do we got coming up at CY Stevens?
Well, we still have two events yet this week. Unfortunately, it sounds like January 26th is going to be a busy week, a busy day in our community, just based on what Julie was just saying.
Yeah.
But we have our Goldfinch Room on Thursday, January 26th. And for those that aren't familiar with what our Goldfinch Room is, it's a singer-songwriter showcase that we developed a few years ago that showcases local, usually Iowa, singer-songwriters in a listening room format where they talk about their songs and sing songs. So it's a really cool atmosphere. We've kind of modeled it after the Bluebird Cafe, but we have a young man coming out of eastern Iowa. He was born in Cedar Rapids, but now is in Davenport, Michael Mankato. And he's going to head over to Ames and spend the evening with us on January 26th at 7 p.m. And then, so excited about this one because I am a child. I was an ABBA fan growing up and still am. On January 29th, we have Mania, the ABBA tribute, coming to Stevens. And it is going to be a night of sing-along, I think, and some chair dancing, and maybe some stand-up dancing. And that show, again, that's Sunday, January 29th at 8 p.m. And that's going to be a very fun night.
Okay. ABBA, and that's not the ABBA-da-ABBA-da-ABBA-da of the old Ralph Cramden. It's ABBA, the singing group.
It would be ABBA.
Yeah.
Dancing Queen.
Well, there you go. No, I was just kind of pulling.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. How about after these two events, what's on store for some of the future activities?
Well, February is a very busy month. We have we have 12 events, and out of those events, I think we've got, 20 days booked, and February is only 28 days. So February, we will be rocking. So February 3rd, which is a Friday night, Hairspray returns. We had Hairspray scheduled last year for March 27th, and it ended up getting canceled on the day of the show after we had loaded in because they had some cast members and crew members come down ill and were not able to perform. So we're very happy to be welcoming back Hairspray at 7:30 on Friday, February 3rd. And then the very next day, we'll set the new stage for Cyclone Honor Band from the university, which is always a very fun event, very high energy. And then we have two of our youth matinee shows, Martha Ellen Ties, our youth matinee series. On February 7th, we have Ben Franklin. And on February 10th, we have Finding North. And both of those are shows that happen at 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. For schools, homeschools, parents, grandparents, to come and watch those shows on the Stevens stage. So those are during the day. That's part of our youth matinee series.
Is part of that matinee series, do you have to anticipate, or is there a registration or letting you know how many folks are coming?
Yes, and because of what happened on January 19th with Pete the Cat and all the snow that came on the weather, we do encourage people to reserve seats, and you just do that by going to our website at center.iastate.edu. You click on across the top, I believe it has education, and you just click down and you'll see Youth Matinee Series, and you just go right there and you can make a reservation. That makes it easier for us to tell you if we have a change in schedule or if weather is going to affect it. That day we ended up canceling our 10 a.m. show and brought everybody into the 12:30 p.m. show because of the snow.
Sure.
That
sounds like a great way to keep in touch with the folks that are interested in attending.
Yes. And so, those are going to be some really good shows. And Finding North is really for our older kids. Mm-hmm. It's about Underground Railroad. And so that's going to be a really good show. The gentleman, David Rodriguez, who is performing that, we're actually partnering. This is a great chance to do another pitch. We're partnering with KHOI and the Ames Writers Collective, and he's going to do a reading on February 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So Stevens is sponsoring that, and he's going to come in a day early, do a reading with that Ames Writers Collective and KHOI partnership, off their author spotlight. And then he'll come and perform two shows on February 10th at Stevens.
And that's something that maybe some of our listeners don't realize, but Iowa played a very important part in the Underground Railroad.
Yes, they did. And don't we have a local author who's done some research and writing about that?
I believe so. We'll have to check with Mary on that. Mike is shaking his head in the affirmative that, yes, we do.
I think things like this, it really is a small world.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of intersection of things. So, and then February 13th, so we're about halfway through the month now. We still have lots of shows left. So February 13th is My Fair Lady, Broadway musical that I'm really looking forward to seeing. I did see it. I have seen the show. It's a beautiful production. And so it really is. That will really be a fun night. So that's February 13th, Monday, February 13th at 7:30. And then February 14th, we're doing something new for Valentine's Day. We're going to have the Steinway Cafe series on our stage with dual pianists. And we're actually setting, having our cabaret tables on stage, small crowd, limited to about 80 people, and with chocolate and wine on the tables. It's going to be a beautiful night on the Stevens stage. That's February 14th. And then February 21st, we have Zuzu African Acrobats. And again, we're doing a youth show, a 10 a.m. show, and then a show at to the public at 7 p.m. And that's really going to be a fun, high-energy show. We're, I haven't seen them live yet, and so I'm very excited to welcome them to Stevens. And then on February 28th, we have another Goldfinch Room. J. Jeffrey Meserol and Sarah Ralph will be coming in. They're both veterans. They've played us before outside, so we're when we did Goldfinch on the Lawn, so we're excited to welcome them inside. And then we always have those other things that make Stevens really important to the community that maybe isn't considered a ticketed event in live entertainment. We mm-hmm. host the All-State Speech Competition, which brings in students from across the state into the Iowa State Center area with using Sheeman and Fisher and Stevens, and that's February 18th. And then on February 22nd, another show like that that uses Stevens, Fisher, and Sheeman is the Shade Tree Short Course. And then our dance competition season starts. So we have 4 days of dance competition as well in February. So yeah, we're busy building. This is what February looks like, and pretty much March and April too.
Wow, and that's well, you can say you're kept off the streets at night. That's for sure. As busy as you are planning all these activities and attending some of them.
Right. Well, and it was interesting to hear Julie talking before about, you know, finding joy and being, you know, with people who are supportive. And I do think that the performing arts and being in that live experience mm-hmm. does contribute to that, too. So, again, we talk about, you know, just the intersection of things.
Yeah, and I know that there are opportunities, at least in some of the events, where if you attend those, you can also interact with the performers in some cases, or either before or after. Sometimes there's a little bit of give and take during some of those performances.
Yeah, we have for our series shows, which on this list includes ABBA Mania, Hairspray, My Fair Lady, Zuzu, African Acrobats. We have our cafe speaker, which is our pre-show speaker that mm-hmm. talks half an hour before the show starts for about 15 minutes. And sometimes that's a cast member and sometimes that's a member of the Great. Community. It just depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then some do have some stage interaction with them for sure.
Yeah. In the last 30 seconds, any last messages for our listeners, Tammy?
Yes, come out and support us. You can support us by buying tickets to shows. We want to keep bringing in these great shows into our community, and to do that, we need people to sit in our seats. So bring a friend, take a look at our schedule at www.center.iastate.edu, and it's really important that we keep a venue like Stevens vibrant and used in our community.
In January 26th at the Goldfinch Room, singer-songwriter showcase Michael Mincotta. At what time was that on January 26th?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. at the Goldfinch Room. Thank you.
Very good. Tammy, thank you for joining us this morning, and best of luck. Break a leg.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a great day.
Have a great day, Tammy. Okay, so we're going to get going here, Pat. I want to thank you for being here today and being co-host. And Mike Murphy, thanks for engineering this local talk. A tug of the KHOI toque to producer Lynn Carey for her assistance with this morning's program. We heard from Naturally Speaking Steve Lekwa, Al Womble, Susan Guiasta, and Julie Saxton. And also, we heard from Tammy Kohlbeck. KHOI provides a platform for citizen and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI, your community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
Stay tuned for Tom Russell and All Things Piano at 9 a.m. immediately following Democracy Now! Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And we'll
see you again
on the radio.
This is KHOI, Story City, Ames. This is Councilmember Bronwyn Beattie Hansen. Please mask up and show your love and respect for your community. Thank you.